When was the last time you felt joy? You know, that kind of pure bliss that puts a huge smile on your face. For many of us, that sensation has been getting harder to access, but maybe it's time to bring it back into our lives on a more regular basis. Here to help is Rachel Macy Stafford, author of the new book, Soul Shift, The Weary Human's Guide to Getting Unstuck and Reclaiming Your Path to Joy. Rachel is a certified special education teacher and the author of several previous books on intentional and stress-free living. Here she is to share five of her big ideas.
Hello, my name is Rachel Macy Stafford. I'm a certified special education teacher, public speaker, and New York Times best-selling author. Through my work, I share personal strategies that serve as universal invitations to embrace life with urgency and cultivate connections that help us all thrive. While engaging with my community, both online and in person, I've started noticing a consistent and growing problem that can be summed up in three words. Humans are weary. Between the demands of work and parenting, endless distractions, and constant breaking news, we feel caught in a loop of drudgery and despair. I've heard people tell me they are desperate to find some joy and inner peace in the everyday. Yet they question how realistic and valid it is to seek joy or peace in a world filled with suffering and discord. I believe cultivating joy is not just possible, but vital for humans to thrive, especially during times such as these. Here are five insights from my engaging new book, Soul Shift, on how to make small shifts that will help readers cultivate more joy and peace right now. Insight number one, shifts begin when we acknowledge painful truths. I'll never forget the words my husband Scott said to me years ago, just as we were finally pulling out of the driveway to go on a family vacation. "You're never happy anymore." I wanted to scoff and tell him he was wrong, but his words affirmed a feeling that kept bubbling up inside me, one that I'd been trying to ignore. I took Scott's word as a cue that it was time to admit a painful truth to myself. I was becoming someone I didn't want to be, a person who was missing her life by standing on the outskirts of every experience as a critical observer rather than a joyful participant. Admitting the truth about how unfulfilled I felt was a critical first step toward the transformation I was seeking. Instead of pushing this painful realization away, I acknowledged it and allowed it to lead and enlighten me. This process is the essence of Soul Shift, a life-changing journey of paying attention to cues which help us uncover and respond to our deepest truths in a way that inspires positive change and lasting transformation. Insight number two. Shifts happen through small, incremental steps. Acknowledging the painful truth I'd been trying to ignore was necessary before I could see I needed to make a change. Still, I needed a realistic plan of action for making that change stick. Like most adults in today's society, I had obligations and responsibilities. I knew I couldn't just drop everything in order to cultivate more joy. So I reached for something I'd learned while teaching students with behavior issues. Real transformation doesn't happen with big sweeping changes. It happens through small, incremental steps bolstered by awareness and compassion. My first step towards joy involved practicing a daily distraction-free time period where I'd check in with myself. Instead of using the first few minutes of my day to check my phone, I implemented a practice of presence. For 10 minutes, I would set aside all the distractions in my life to connect with myself. Sometimes I would journal, other times I would read letters from my grandma, who always saw the good in me. Little did I know this practice of presence would be the foundation to a transformative return to my authentic self and to true joy. I say return to joy because the answers we seek to live more joyfully are inside us, but we must give ourselves time and space to get back in touch with our body, our limits, our needs, and our core values. What I did during these distraction-free time periods didn't matter as much as the conditions, whether I was alone or with someone, whether I was writing or simply breathing. There was no phone, no computer, no agenda, no to-do list, and no expectations. I just showed up with a posture of acceptance, willing to listen to the feelings or thoughts that surfaced in the stillness. I soon discovered that my commitment to touch base with my inner world before touching base with the outer world was enlightening and empowering. I discovered that listening to the world's opinions and expectations was what had often led me astray from my true, authentic path. Starting my day with what fulfilled me instead of depleted me created momentum toward change that mattered and lasted well beyond that initial 10 minutes. In SoulShift, readers are provided with suggestions, structure, and tools they can use to create their own practice of presence and see for themselves how making small shifts creates powerful ripple effects. Insight number 3, shifts occur when we deem ourselves worthy. As I practiced presence, I became aware that getting in touch with my needs and uncovering what brings me joy was often challenging for me. I told myself I had to earn rest and play and delight and peace. In our culture, especially, we are conditioned to compete, produce, serve, perform, and accommodate to prove our worth. We don't naturally deem ourselves worthy of the time, energy, care, and love required to invest in ourselves. These internalized beliefs become roadblocks to experiencing authentic joy because we are constantly trying to meet expectations outside our control. And that keeps us distracted and detached from the core of who we are and what we need to thrive. Unfortunately, I had to learn this the hard way through a health scare in 2015. During this time, I was pushing myself way beyond reasonable limits and ignoring an ongoing physical pain because I told myself I didn't have time to address it. In a moment of frustration, I raised a casserole dish over my head and smashed it on the kitchen counter, terrifying my then 12-year-old daughter. When I went to Natalie's room to apologize, I admitted a painful truth I hadn't even admitted to myself. "I'm not handling my stress very well right now," I told her, "and I think it's because I'm not taking good care of myself." Much to my surprise, Natalie presented me with a slew of life-changing facts about sleep, hydration, and nourishment. Seeing her concern for my well-being led me to seek medical attention, which resulted in surgery for a giant kidney stone and a powerful wake-up call. Failing to deem myself worthy of prioritization was costing me my health and negatively impacting my life and those I loved. I took this wake-up as an invitation to start investing in myself regularly. One of the ways I began to do that was through hat days. Remembering the 8-year-old me who had a fondness for wearing hats and exploring nature, I began to bypass the mirror every Saturday morning, which was where my voice of self-judgment was loudest. Placing the hat on my head renewed my mindset of spontaneity, courage, and lightheartedness. In my hat, I was 8-year-old Rachel, the girl who seized every opportunity to laugh, run, play, live, and love. And not just in moments when she deemed herself worthy. Taking small steps to show up even when I felt inadequate or unprepared forged a path to much deeper, lasting change. Insight number 4, shifts happen when we release roles that no longer serve us. Looking back now, I realize the significance of the hat. Not only did it serve as a tangible anchor to the core of who I am, but it also served as a boundary-setting tool. Hat days meant no mirror, no work, no responding to messages. Placing boundaries around what I would and would not do on Saturdays protected my time, focus, and energy for relational and emotional investments that matter to me. As someone who derived her worth from pleasing and accommodating others, setting this boundary did not come easy. Through education and introspection, I've come to understand why. Boundaries are an expression of self-worth. They communicate to other people who we are, what we think, how we feel, and what we will and will not tolerate. The protective boundaries I was learning to set on Saturdays began carrying over to other personal times and places. What I found to be more challenging was to set boundaries in my professional life. I confided in my friend Shannon that writing, something that always brought me joy, had become so depleting that I might quit. I explained that the more public my writing became, the more expectations were put on me. I'll never forget what Shannon said. "Rachel, you're a map maker, not a baggage carrier, not a tour guide, and not a travel agent. You are there to guide and accompany people through their own journey, not to carry stuff that doesn't belong to you." With Shannon's analogy as my guide, it became clear I was spending too much energy fulfilling aspects of my job that were either 1, assigned to me or assumed of me, or 2, purposeful at one point, but only hindering me now. I decided that continuing to fulfill these roles was not only counterproductive to my goals, but also harmful to my well-being. The act of classifying my roles created awareness that helped me make better choices with my time, focus, and energy. In Soul Shift, readers are given both the tools and the practice to identify their fillers and depleters. As they release roles that no longer serve them, they unleash opportunities to invest their time, focus, and energy in fulfilling roles that they are meant to fill. Insight number 5, shifts create space for our gifts to flourish. With boundaries in place, I finally had the time and energy to do something I'd wanted to do since I was a child, volunteer at a local cat shelter. Every Sunday afternoon, my daughters and I would go visit the cats that were housed at a local PetSmart. In photos Natalie took of me holding the cats for the shelter website, I saw something in myself I hadn't seen in a long time. Peace, contentment, joy. What I saw reminded me so much of my 8-year-old self, the mixtape maker, animal lover, notebook filler with dreams of becoming an author. No longer did I see someone who was missing her life. I saw a joyful participant who'd become aware of a direct route to joy. When you go where your heart calls you to go, you are fulfilled. You go to be a gift to the world, yet you are the one who is gifted. I don't believe you find your purpose. I believe your purpose finds you when you go toward what delights your heart. This is why the 8 practices presented in Soul Shift are so transformative. Deciding that you won't live overscheduled and undervalued, seeing trials, mistakes, and missteps as stepping stones, establishing healthy boundaries and self-care habits, and more. Soul Shift offers readers the time, space, insight, and confidence to go where their heart leads so they can discover what makes them feel truly alive. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoy the book.
Thank you, Rachel. That was Rachel Macy Stafford with 5 big ideas from Soul Shift, The Weary Human's Guide to Getting Unstuck and Reclaiming Your Path to Joy. I'm Michael Kovnat. Have a joyful day.